Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We got a big week for Illinois football here, but potentially a bigger week for the future of Illinois basketball. And we are going to focus one podcast this week on Illini basketball and recruiting. And that means we have Derek Piper, our lead basketball reporter here. To break it all down, we have unofficial visitors, a bunch of official visitors, some big class of 2022 targets here on campus. And Derek, it's no rocket science of what Brad Underwood is trying to do here. Illinois football is this week zero center stage national spotlight to take advantage of. Excitement with Brett Bielema, excitement with fans finally back in the football stands, 50,000 plus, I would imagine. And Brad Underwood is like, yeah, that's a good weekend to bring recruits. Seems pretty smart, in my opinion.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. Just ride that week zero wave for Illini basketball, just piggybacking on Illini football, which is obviously a big weekend. Brett Bielema kicking off his tenure and just a marquee matchup, a Big Ten matchup, Illinois-Nebraska, knowing that should be a great atmosphere inside of Memorial Stadium. This is the first week of classes for students, so just kind of that amped up buzz back on campus. So a great time to bring in some recruits, and you got quite a talented list of them this week coming in, and obviously the team will be there with Kofi and Curbelo. Just makes a lot of sense to try to sell your program, just try to sell Illinois and really have a showcase for a guy in, we'll break it all down, but a guy in Cam Corn who saw it over the summer, just be a little bit more amped up and hyped up. And then you're trying to sell Cam Whitmore coming in as a potential five-star guy probably when he's done playing as a senior.
Yeah, I just thought of this while you're talking about that, Derek. It's like the best environment Brad Underwood's had to sell with his program after a top 10 year. I know the tournament didn't go. We can keep using that qualifier. Didn't go the way they wanted to, right? So they weren't able to capitalize there, but a Big Ten tournament championship, and now a Kofi coming back and Curbelo and just a really good team. You have even more buzz that, hey, that wasn't going to be a one-off. Like, we are going to be a Big Ten contender, maybe a national contender yet again. And now you have all the kids on campus. That's all the basketball players, all the coaching staff, all the new coaching staff, and all these students and fans on campus. It's the first big opportunity Brad Underwood's had to do that since they created all this excitement, even dating back to last year after they beat Iowa, right? It's like the biggest opportunity to sell themselves.
Yeah, since that regular season finale of the 2019-20 season, where you had a couple of visitors there to see the Illinois-Iowa Kofi versus Luka regular season finale. But this being that next opportunity, it's been a long time since then. It's seemed like forever since then. And I know that we're still not quite normal yet, because normally you'd have that open workout and pack oven, which you're not going to see this weekend, unfortunately, just out of precaution.
Some awkward but well-intentioned fan chant.
We always got to bring that up, right? But
USA. Hey, I know it was well-intentioned, guys, but it was just kind of lame.
Yeah, I know. It's all part of the experience, but recruits will get a great feel. Get to feel that buzz and that environment. Football game, be around the team. And this really is the premier weekend of the fall for Illini basketball as far as recruiting goes, because outside of the guys they're bringing in, which we're going to talk about, there's some question marks about how many other guys they will really get in on or push for. So this is an opportunity to add to what's already a nice start to the class, but three guys coming in, well, four, including Jaden Epps, is committed, trying to bolster the 2022 class.
Yeah, of course, we want to get in depth, Derek, about those official visitors that are going to mean so much to the class of 2022. And honestly, it's a great sign that, you know, first chance Illinois is able to get them on campus. But let's reset the class of 2022 a little bit. I feel like we have to at this point. But Illinois enters the fall semester with two commits from top 100 guards. That's a pretty good place to be with Jaden Epps. You mentioned he's taking his official this weekend, so he can help the cause. Sincere Harris out of Ohio was the first commitment to the new staff. And as you long suggested, Derek, Reggie Bass is no longer part of the class, which is currently 15th in the country, fourth in the Big Ten. What has Illinois accomplished so far with those two pieces in place?
Well, really, if you look at Brad Underwood's tenure, signing two guys in the fall, which they're already in line to do, is the most he's ever had in a early signing period. So to get not only guys on board early, but being at two top 100 guards in Epps and Sincere Harris, that's a great start. And like you mentioned, with Epps being able to come in this weekend and further sell other guys, that is a helpful dynamic at times. And you would think that just kind of his status in that class is one of the top, you know, 10 to 12 point guards in the country. To talk to a Cam Whitmore, Cam Corn, that's a great thing to have at this point, you know, early on in August and moving into the fall official visits. So really speaks a lot, which we've talked throughout the summer about Chester and what he's brought to the table recruiting-wise, his connections, his energy, and being able to close some of those down. I think that puts you in a very good spot. And if you were to get a Cam Whitmore, which would be the crown jewel of this class, being that he's borderline five-star, that would solidify the fact that, okay, you're going to have a top 20 to 25 class for sure. That's without adding probably anybody else. And that would be the third time consecutively that Underwood would bring in a top 25 class. Of course, he's going to be tough because Carolina's in there and there's some other big players. It's mostly, most people think it's boiled down to Illinois, North Carolina. Villanova's still a player as well, but Otego Away is coming in, a four-star guard they really like to Peach Jam, Cam Corin. A guy that's been a priority for a while. If you're able to get one or two of those guys, excluding Whitmore, you would also be, you know, in that top 25 range nationally. And again, towards the top of the Big Ten. So I think as you look at it going into the fall, they position themselves to finish again in that kind of elite class in the Big Ten. Now, again, like Michigan, Ohio State, they're recruiting really, really well. And you kind of got to keep pace with them at least somewhat to try to have the same sustained success that you've had in conference. So they've put themselves in a position to do that. Now it's, can you take a couple steps further with some of these guys coming in this week?
Yeah, feels like, I kind of wrote about in the digest a couple of weeks ago, Derek, like it's Michigan is recruiting another level right now. Michigan State still can haul in some good players like Max Christie, but it feels like Ohio State, Michigan are at the top level, and Illinois has been right there. Kind of feels like they're kind of where Maryland was a couple years ago, and that's a good place because Maryland was one of the top teams in the Big Ten, top tier for a while there, and certainly could be really good again this year, but that seems like a pretty good place to be entering the fall. But before we move on to the guys they're trying to add, the guys they lost per se, Reggie Bass, AJ Storr, are those simply coaching change casualties from this class? Those guys both committed to the previous assistants. Is it as simple as, you know, the new staff and those players just thought a fresh start in recruiting was the best approach?
That's certainly factored into it for sure. And this new staff in terms of Underwood's new assistants definitely kept their eyes on those guys, stayed in contact with Reggie Bass and AJ Storr and evaluated them throughout the summer. But definitely Storr decommitting really after Chin Coleman was officially going to Kentucky, that showed that connection played a big part in him going to Illinois, and then not having Chin there left some question marks as far as him ultimately ending back in that Illinois class, which he did, and he goes to St. John's. I think that the way that Storr played throughout the summer, if he went out there and exploded and continued to rise up in the rankings and everything, I think that Illinois maybe would have pushed the gas a little bit harder than maybe they did late. But ultimately, yeah, I think it just hit a reset button in Storr's mind as far as, you know, his allegiances and what he was thinking about recruiting-wise. And Reggie Bass, you know, Chester shows up with a handful of guards, two that he's already gotten that he was really, really high on and wanted to, you know, make great efforts at, and then get Epps and then get Sincere Harris. And Harris and Bass are similar in terms of those longer guards who can play kind of a combo role, 6'4". And I think that once you take Harris in the summer, there were some questions about just, you know, the fit alongside there and the competition. I think that both sides just ultimately felt like it was probably better to move their separate ways. And that ultimately panned out here within the last couple of weeks. So Yeah, I think that the relationships, because O was on Bass and Chen was on Store, that was definitely part of it. And I think just also some of the other guys that the staff was going after and making some headway with factored in as well.
Yeah, and I don't think there's much of a freak out from the Illinois fan base when you already have two top 100 guys committed at a similar position. All right, Derek, let's break down some of these official visitors. Otega Owe. I know that name Owe from Penn State because he used to be Jason Owe. Now I think he's Udefu Owe. First round pick of the Baltimore Ravens, I believe. Very talented. Otega Owe plays on the wing. What can you tell us about him? Why is he a top target for Illinois and how would he fit in?
6'4", bigger guard that can really get to the basket, strong physical. So you thought about what AJ Store brought to the table in terms of just that physicality, that bigger guard or bigger wing that could be a two-way impact player. That is what Owe brings, and he's higher ranked than Store by, you know, 50, 60 spots, and was one of the, I mean, team final won the 17U Peach Jam championship, and Owe was a big time standout, a huge part of that, and really stated his case as a guard that is on the rise in this class. He's already in the top 100 and has a chance to rise maybe a little bit more. So Illinois was following him, he was on their radar, and combined with his performance, just kind of getting the indication that he was at least interested in giving them a legit look, that made sense to bring him in on an official. Now, you mentioned Penn State. It's going to be tough to beat out the Nittany Lions here. They have the pre-established relationship. They have the fact that his brother went there and obviously had a lot of success. And that staff at Penn State has done a good job, got him on campus for an official in June. And always coming off of an official at Miami, they're a factor as well. Took an unofficial to Seton Hall. But he'll arrive on Wednesday, be here through Friday for Illinois. And they're playing a little bit of catch up here. But again, a guard that he averages about almost two steals a game throughout, you know, 14, 15 games, that 2-week period that they were down in North Augusta. So he's definitely someone that is active with his hands and trying to get into you as a defender. And then if you get out in transition, he almost reminds you a little bit of Felice, like as far as his ability to weave through traffic. If he gets to the rim, he can give you that shoulder and still finish. So certainly adding someone of that caliber with an Epps, you know what he brings, and a Harris that maybe is a longer shooter, quicker. This guy's kind of the thunder to some of that lightning that you already have in the backcourt.
I was going to say, he sounds like the perfect complement to those two guys. Epps, kind of a smaller bucket getter, can just get points. And then Sincere Harris, long, athletic shooter. Yeah, makes a lot of sense. All right, Cam Corin, Illinois needs some length. They need some depth. They need some guys who can develop and be that next wave of talent in the front court. And Cam Corin already took one official visit to Illinois. He can take a second because the first was technically during his junior year. Now it's his senior year. It seems like a pretty good sign, Derek, that he's taking two official visits to Illinois. Do I cue my semi-sonic? Is it closing time for Illinois?
It is closing time. It absolutely is. Now, that's not to say that it's a slam dunk or that, you know, that it's already served up on a silver platter and it's just going to be a formality. But clearly the interest is at a very high level when he takes an official during the summer and then another one. Really at the first opportunity to get back on campus. And we've talked in recent months, just his comments about Chester Frazier being the first high major coach to really dive in on him and believe in him. And he's been quoted as saying, that's like a big brother to me. So Chester has put Illinois in a great spot and they've definitely pressed the gas ever since Chester's gotten here. And I think that now Braden Huff not really being probably trending towards Illinois, probably trending elsewhere, whether it be Gonzaga or somewhere else. We talked, you know, at some point in recent weeks or towards the end of the summer, would there be a choice between Corin or Huff? Would it be either or? They're all locked in on Corin and trying to lock this thing down. I will say that
those conversations, I love when fans say, would you take this guy or this guy? It's like, it usually doesn't work out that way. Usually you just recruit them both hard and whoever wants to come, you take them.
Yeah, you usually don't have to make those choices at the very end. It plays out on its own. But Florida State, where Corin has not visited yet, is in the mix for a visit after Illinois. Illinois, of course, would try to lock it down this weekend or shortly thereafter to where he wouldn't take that trip to Tallahassee because We know Leonard Hamilton and the way he's been able to recruit and bring in talent, that would be a scary proposition for him to take a follow-up visit after that. USC's in the mix as well. So I do think it's closing time, but you want to make sure that you capitalize on that opportunity because it could get a little sweaty if you don't.
Yeah, so back in the day when I was at the U of I campus, my upperclassmen bar was Brothers, and they used to play Mariah Carey, "All I Want for Christmas Is You." That was the finale. So we're not quite playing that, but it's on our list when it comes to Cam Corn. Derek, tell us a little bit about Cam as a player. Like, what does he bring on the court? How would he fit Illinois?
6'10", really long, considered a modern five. I think that you could maybe potentially play him as a four just because he can shoot it and stretch the floor, makes the most sense as a five who can pick and pop, pick and roll. He's very athletic, long and athletic, can block shots. He does need to add strength. It is something that, look at him, he has a nice frame, and he has worked on that particular. His upper body's gotten stronger, but his lower body definitely needs some strength to be able to hold his post position, to play defense when you're having a guy like a Hunter Dickinson that you would see in the league. I don't think he'll be there when Corin gets here, but those type of bruising bigs that you see around the conference, he's going to need some time to get a little bit stronger. But he offensively, he's got a really nice skill set. The jump shot is very pure. He can score out of the mid post as well, kind of a face-up guy that can put the ball on the floor a little bit. And he's going to be good in the pick and roll because he's a guy that with his length, with his ability to go up and get it, he can high point an alley-oop and throw that down. So someone that's thought to have quite a bit of upside. I think consistent production has still been a little elusive for him at times, just at this stage of his career, and probably why he's not a certified top 100 talent. He's closer to that 150 range. But in terms of upside, like, he definitely has top 100 upside, and being someone that if he figures it out and really progresses physically, he's going to be a handful in that front court.
Yeah, just to whiteboard this, OA is ranked number 86 in the composite rankings, 102 with 24/7 Sports. Cam Corin is ranked number 165 in the composite. 24/7 Sports is higher on him, has him as a four-star at number 110. I think you probably agree a little bit more with that one, Derek. And let's get to Cam Whitmore, who I think is rising up these boards. 24/7 Sports has him as the number 27 player in the country. The composite has him a little further down at number 51. But I think we both think Chester Frazier has ace potential. And if he lands Corin on top of Epps and Sincere Harris, what a recruiting class for Chester Frazier and Brad Underwood. But if he gets Whitmore, that would be almost like, okay, ace stamped right on Chester Frazier right out of the gates here. And I don't even know if you and I thought he would do that right away, but they have gotten right in the mix for Cam Whitmore. As you said, North Carolina, Florida, Penn State, Villanova are involved here, but this is Chester Frazier's doing, right? And this is a long-term relationship here.
It certainly is. Has Chester written all over it. Whitmore's from just about 20 miles south of Baltimore. So certainly the old stomping grounds for Chester, where he's very connected, and he's been on Cam Whitmore for quite a while, going back to obviously when he was at Virginia Tech. And for them to get an official here in the fall, as Whitmore really is winding this thing down, he took quite a few visits in June, one official to Maryland, went to Georgetown, Villanova, a couple other spots on the East Coast on unofficials. But as this is really boiled down, Illinois, even outside of their own circle, even nationally, is getting recognition as being a player to watch at the very least. Now, I know that Carolina, just being number one, being Carolina, they're going to get a lot of that, probably benefit of the doubt nod of, okay, that's probably where people would pick that he ends up.
Can we acknowledge that? That's probably a safe bet, right?
Like, yeah, right. It is.
If it's between a North Carolina and name any school in the next tier or the tier below that, I get why North Carolina is seen as a favorite. So Illinois fans, like, it's just part of being a blue blood. Like, it is hard to beat those teams. And that's why to land somebody like Whitmore, if Frazier and Underwood could pull it off, is a huge, huge thing.
Certainly. And it does speak to obviously his talent and where he's stacking up in this class. And they offered over the summer. Made things tougher, definitely, as far as Chester closing the deal. And Whitmore's coming off of his trip to Chapel Hill, which he took this past weekend. But the fact that he didn't commit, and he's going to come to Illinois and wants to see it, wants to check it out, that is a good opportunity, a huge opportunity, because I think that based on the way he played at Peach Jam, watching the streams and seeing the stats and just kind of getting the gauge of what, you know, the Eric Bossies and other guys in the industry are saying, he has a chance to be not only a 24/7 five-star, but maybe even a composite five-star when his senior year is ultimately done, because that's just the way he's kind of rising up these boards. It's just a freak athlete. Like, he is just overwhelmingly athletic and ability to explode above the rim and just be strong and everything. Like, there's a little bit of, he doesn't shoot it as well as Miles Bridges, but there's a little bit of Miles Bridges to him.
I was just, it's been a long time since Illinois had a player like that, right? Like, Brian Randall had some freakish qualities as an athlete. Never was the strongest guy and never was the most aggressive guy, right? I think Brian never was the most aggressive player. And that's, it felt like, man, if he had that extra gear in him, it's obviously turned into a great success story as an NBA assistant coach. But it's been a long time since they've had a physical force like that out there on the wing. Nick Anderson, you know what I mean? I'm trying to think of Kenny Battle, guys like that. It seems like Whitmore is of that kind of mold.
Yeah, certainly a high flyer that's definitely physically strong and certainly plays with an edge. I mean, he's tough. He is very, very tough and could play a three or a four. You could put him at the four spot and play three guards around him or play a bigger lineup. If you're talking Illinois specifically, you could play him at the three, Hawkins at the four. There are some different things you could do with him, but you want him out there on the court just because of that physicality and that, I'm sure, you know, rebounding wise, being able to play defense, those all factor into, you know, in addition, just getting to the rim and trying to finish through contact or dunk on somebody or both.
All right, Derek, that all sounds good. Let's talk about the flip side of this after a quick break about, hey, all that's good, but if it doesn't result in anything, what's that mean for Illinois? Let's talk about that next on the Illini Inquirer podcast.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, Derek, you talked about three top 110 prospects, according to 24/7 Sports, taking official visits to Illinois this week. I would think we both think they're in a pretty good spot with Corn, at least have a chance at Whitmore and OA, top tier for those two prospects. So they should land probably one of them out of that group. But there is some pressure to hit, right, on this weekend, because you said there's not another big weekend here, and it just feels like the board is thinning a little bit, even if you feel good about what you have coming in this week and what you already have in the class.
It is, for sure. It is thinning out. Zach Keller is another guy that they're maybe playing the waiting game a little bit on. He's a four-star in the top 100 out of Colorado. He's a skilled four-man that they got in on late. We'll see, both in terms of their traction with him, but also just how they want to approach, if they want to push for him. Maybe if Corin doesn't pop, that would be one that they would be willing to look at that front court. But outside of him, it's not looking like, well, I'll just flat out say, you're not getting a visit from Jaden Shute, probably not getting a visit from Braden Huff. And Brad Underwood in general, and we have discussed this some, is really prioritized trying to get impact players, particularly at the guard and wings. Like the big man, knowing the way that development usually plays out, you need to be a little bit more patient with that. Now it's not the Brandon Lee variety where you're not going to play for 2 or 3 years, but he wants guys that can help them right away or go to the transfer portal, because there's a lot of opportunity, as we saw this past year, just the depth of talent, the high end side of that. We had McDonald's All-Americans who spent 1 year in college and were looking elsewhere. Guys who were really proven college players. Well, technically even an All-American was in the transfer portal at one point. So, that is something that they're kind of thinking about. And what's interesting, and it was a narrative not only for Illinois, but for a lot of schools out there watching on the recruiting trail this summer, was how many spots are we really recruiting for? Like, it could be on the lower end of 3 or 4, but just knowing the way guys go to the pro level, maybe earlier than they're ready for, or guys look to transfer if they don't play, you could be recruiting for 4 spots. You could be recruiting for 8 or 9 spots. Who knows? So I know that as far as Illinois goes, they're going to recruit these guys they're bringing in this week. Outside of that, it might be a pivot to the portal for the most part this spring.
The pivot to the portal is a great conversation piece, Derek, that does change with the one-time transfer rule, right? I mean, we've been surprised in the past, like Alan Griffin entered the transfer portal. They make a lot of sense to us, but he got eligible. He got a waiver right away. Like, it makes sense when guys like after 1 year are just like, hey, I don't see it for me. I'm going to go somewhere where I play right away or play a role I want a little bit more. It makes sense then for the response to coaches to be like, well, I'm not going to go for a B prep target if he's just going to transfer on me in a year. I'm going to go, my B target is going to be, let's see what's in the portal in April and May. And that guy's going to be ready to play, make an immediate impact. And now he could have 3 years of eligibility immediately, right? Like, that makes a ton of sense as a response. So I feel like B targets, C targets, like, I don't think you're going to see Illinois reaching for Matisse Vassil or Anthony Higgs late in classes anymore. I think that's a thing of the past.
Yeah, it certainly is. And for you looking at it, you mentioned 3 years of eligibility. Like, Omar Payne has played 2 years in the SEC. He was a former top 50, top 60 recruit who has 3 years of eligibility now coming in to your place. That was a guy that you were able to get in the portal. And I was looking through the CBS Sports rankings of the top transfer. I mean, he wasn't even on top 85. That's how deep that was. Guys that were proven Big Ten starters last year, like C.J. Frederick, Daryl Morsell, Armon Franklin, those guys were ranked like 45 to 55 as far as the best transfers in the portal. Like, that says a lot about the type of guys and how many guys were in the portal this past offseason, not really expected to slow down, at least as far as this upcoming offseason. And when you're thinking you're going to have another big-time season, and I know they're hoping this one ends in a nice run during the NCAA tournament, it puts you in a position to be able to hunt in that portal and have some confidence you'll be able to get some impact players.
It's why I can't wait for, we're going to have this at some point, from what I understand, like a recruiting ranking that includes transfers and preps, because like that is recruiting now. Like, you have to mix them together. So sometimes it feels like our prep recruiting rankings, like in a vacuum, makes sense. Like, this is the best prep recruiting class, but it doesn't tell us everything. And more so now than ever, it's transfer recruiting is almost equal, Derek, to prep recruiting. Because you think some of the stars in college basketball, a lot of them have transferred, and that's going to continue. Like, you know, Illinois fans cannot like Adam Miller for transfer. I think he's going to be pretty good for LSU. Like, that's a huge, big-time pickup, and probably as big of a pickup for them than, say, some top 30 kid they brought in is a prep.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you look at what Texas did, Chris Beard in the portal this offseason. I mean, absolutely loaded up with Marcus Carr, Christian Bishop.
6 of the top 30 transfers or something like that, like 5.
Ray Mitchell.
12, it was nuts.
Yeah, and that, in terms of what you know you're getting out of that, with those that are proven, you're going to have the Namari Burnett, who was ranked as a, you know, top 25 to 30 guy that didn't show it in college. And then there's going to be some more question marks about his ability to produce that next upcoming year. Of course, he's still going to have that talent, and it does take some time for freshmen. But I mean, Trey Mitchell, like I said, Marcus Carr, those that have done it in college, you're getting more instant impact and more known impact than maybe in recruiting. Not to say that it devalues, but it might shorten the list ultimately of where high majors are going to look and what's that cutoff line of, you know, top 100, top 150, anything below that. Are they not rolling the dice anymore on that? A Georgie Bashanishvili might not even, probably not even a guy you're taking anymore.
All right, Derek, I want to ask you before we get out of here. We've heard all about Chester Frazier. We've mentioned his name. What have you seen the impact so far of Tim Anderson and Jeff Alexander. Guys, you know, Jeff has started, he's been a role of this. He got maybe the biggest recruit in helping get Kofi Coburn back to campus. But what have you seen so far from those guys on the trail? And looking forward, how do you see those guys kind of making an impact for Brad Underwood?
Similar to Chester, Jeff's definitely known as a guy that is going to grind. He's going to work hard. He's respected with the relationships that he has. And I know that he's probably disappointed or just the way it played out with Illinois Wolves. And that's where he invested a lot of the time this summer to try to recruit Jaden Shue, try to recruit Braden Huff, and put Illinois in a position at least to have a shot with those guys. So that is disappointing. But I mean, obviously that it's bigger than just this one class. So he's got in-state ties. He's got, regionally in the Midwest. And he's also working Jeremy Fears in 2023. Is one of his guys, Kylan Boswell, a Champaign native out there, you know, top 25, 30. Both those guys, by the way, playing USA basketball under 16s. And Fears was going to be in Champaign this weekend had he not made the team and is down in Mexico right now competing. So Jeff is definitely all in on those guys and really pushing it there. And with Tim, I think that there is still some more to be seen. And I'll be honest, I haven't gotten a chance to really be around him. That was the great part of the summer, being around Chester, being around Jeff. And obviously Jeff's a guy that we're familiar with from just being here throughout Brad Underwood's tenure, but someone that is clearly going to have the Mean Streets connection and see what that plays out there. I think it's interesting to think about, you know, if you would have said back during last season and said, okay, you're going to bring in Tim Anderson, you'd be like, oh, AJ Casey should be, that should be a big time opportunity. And that should, you know, give us the leg up. But the way that played out, maybe not. It doesn't seem like mutual interest is still, I think, fairly low, and I don't see that one panning out. So going in the future, I know Xavier Booker is a guy, a center that he's already on out of Indianapolis, is actually going to, we should mention, he's going to visit this weekend unofficially. You have Jalen Hooks out of Indianapolis, is a top 60, top 75 guy in 2023, going to visit. Joey Brown's a point guard out of North Central in Indianapolis, going to visit as well. And Asa Thomas, a guy that's in-state, Lake Forest, Illinois Wolves, a shooter, 6'6", that Jeff's on, 2023. He's going to take an unofficial. So all those guys will be there at the football game on Saturday. And, yeah, I think that you get a nice blend of some different things with these guys, different areas, different styles. In particular, I think that maybe Tim is more similar to Chin with, like, kind of the connections, and Chester just might be that. He doesn't have connections. We're definitely seeing that, but he's maybe closer to an ace, maybe closer to an OA in terms of just being plugged in the right places. But also, just, I mean, that dude just works incredibly hard, and he's a competitor and takes a lot of pride in trying to get Illinois, you know, staying where they've gotten to.
And just like OA, like, he just has a way with people, man. Like, he connects with them. I can connect with people, but not as deep as these guys do. Like, they just have a connection with people that very few seem to have. And, you know, those are big shoes to fill. And I think that's where everyone was so nervous, is like, yeah, Stephen Gentry, good coach, obviously bright future. You know, Chin Coleman, Chicago connections, what he did with Io and getting Adam Miller and Coleman, like, all did great things, but just felt like Orlando was irreplaceable and probably still is, but it's just like, you might've hit another home run, Chester Frazier. At least it's looking that way early on. All right, Doug, the other thing I was going to say is, like, say they add Corin this weekend with Epps and Harris, all of a sudden, yeah, I know you could end up having like five or six spots by the spring with, you know, attrition, Kofi going pro, whatever it is, but you're probably going to have one or two transfers in there. Like, all of a sudden you can get a head start maybe on 2023, which hasn't been the case for Brad Underwood here recently. They haven't been able to do things like that. So the potential to lock down three guys in the fall could really expedite some 2023 efforts as well. And you just mentioned a lot of unofficial visitors. Feels like they can focus, put an eye towards that a little bit already.
Yeah, that's a good point. And that would certainly be something that they could focus in on, because that pivot to the portal, if you're going to do that, or even just, like you said, getting Corin and looking more towards the spring to see how things shake out, that's something that's going to just play out a little bit and maybe not take up your immediate focus. And maybe that is the way it goes for the remainder of the football weekends, like the Maryland Friday night game or the homecoming against Wisconsin. Maybe it's more geared towards 23s, because you could, I mean, you could have a Kylan Boswell on an official visit to come back to Champaign. Not that he'd necessarily need a place to stay because he's still got family here in the area, but definitely in terms of, you know, trying to make hay early on. Maybe Jeremy Fears is a guy that I think they've done really well with that could pop early on for them. That would be interesting to watch, but that is usually an advantage or thought to be an advantage if you can do your work early and really lock in on some of those other guys. Because I know that in the past where they've had to work late into the spring, they felt like they've had to play catch up on that very next class. And that wouldn't be the case based on the way, really, I mean, huge credit to Chester with the way that he's set them up. And of course, you know, obviously Brad and the rest of the staff play a part, and they're going to have to do their work this week for a big one, you know, three guys coming in.
I don't want that to go overlooked. The fact that you just said Jeremy Fears could be a guy to watch in 2023. I don't want to put too much pressure on. There's no crystal ball or anything quite yet, but like we went from what we watched for the first couple years of doing this at point guard, Derek, to Andres Feliz, Io DeSumo, Andre Curbelo, Jaden Epps, and Sincere Harris, and potentially a Jeremy Fears. Pretty good. Pretty good job, Brad Underwood, with the point guard thing. That's kind of important in college basketball.
I would say so. Yeah, it is. It's quite important, and the contrast is really mind blowing as far as the riches that you have at point guard already. With, you know, that's taking Fears out of the equation, but just kind of the guards you're in the mix for going forward. But the guards that you've had compared to the past, where it was bleak to say the least for a while there with John Gross.
All right, Derek Piper, exciting time for Illini basketball, exciting time for Illini football. You want to get a game season prediction for football while you're at it? I mean, we know I go to you every week, and you were our best game picker last year for Illinois football, because you went sour on him south after Wisconsin, yeah. Which was the right call. I kind of stuck with him for a little bit, and then COVID screwed up some of my picks. So you got any predictions for us you want to throw out there?
I was going to say that might just mean that I'm a pessimist when it comes to football, but
wait till my game and season predictions and they'll hate me. So don't worry about it.
I'm taking Illinois this weekend. I like them against the Huskers. I'm pretty down on Scott Frost and company, just the turmoil, obviously the loss of a Wandell Robinson. I think Illinois gets it done. I think the crowd will help. I'm skeptical too, as far as a handful of things about the team. Brandon Peters has got to show that he can be consistent. The receiving core is very concerning in terms of the depth and what's proven there. And the defense has a handful of questions as well. I'm very intrigued. I'm excited to see what Brett Bielema, what Ryan Walters and Tony Peterson, obviously along down the list, what they can do. I take the over on 3.5 wins, but I'm not going to be someone that – I'm not Lontaying it and saying 6 or 7 or bust. I'm not in that boat.
Yeah. Yeah. And I feel like sometimes I'm like, I'm bullish on this team compared to everybody, but maybe not as bullish. Hope springs eternal, man, especially in a new era, but maybe I've covered enough first year head coaches in my short time covering this team, Derek, that I'm just like, you know, I'm going to wait till I see it first before I buy it completely all in. But I think it's going to be a lot more fun brand of football. I think it'll be much more competitive, and man, Brett Bielema should have a competitive team here year one with all the super seniors. So maybe it all comes together. And Nebraska certainly is beatable. We saw that last year, and there is turmoil, but I feel like they're actually starting the right quarterback this time, and one who scares me based on the last games Illinois played against Adrian Martinez.
Certainly, and definitely understandable. I'm holding out hope. Obviously, if you're in the building, you're covering whatever, it's pretty fun, I can imagine. Being a competitive football game, seeing Memorial Stadium after a win would be fun to see. But I'd be holding out hope for an Adam Rittenberg tweet that says, sources say Scott Frost is not on the bus back to the airport. He's being left in Champaign after a loss to the Illini.
Leaving him on the tarmac like Lane Kiffin back in the day. All right, Derek Piper, not only a basketball expert, but football extraordinaire as well. Yeah. Derek Piper, looking forward to the content this week, the official visit primers, and a big weekend for Brad Underwood's program. Thank you as always, buddy.
Yep, absolutely, man.
Great stuff as always from Derek Piper. And yeah, he's going to have a busy week as Joey and I were on the football side of it, but Derek's got a
a busy week with Illinois basketball recruiting, and you'll want to be in on all the official visit primers, the recaps. I know he's going to have a column on what this week is like for Brad Underwood with the opportunity in front of them. So check all that out at Illini Inquirer. And even if you missed on last week's great annual 75% off deal, you can take advantage right now. Go 1 month, first month, $1 for VIP access. Great time to do that with Illinois basketball and Illinois football kicking into high gear right now. Appreciate you listening to the Illini Inquirer podcast. Give us a follow, a rating, a review wherever you get your podcast is greatly appreciated. It helps us out. And as always, everybody have a great day. Take care of each other. We'll talk to you next time on the Illini Inquirer podcast.
Streaming on Paramount Plus.
You ready, Bob?
Well, all right.
Audiences are raving. Bob Marley is electrifying. It's the feel-good movie of the year.
You dig?
Bob Marley, One Love. Rated PG-13. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.